is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
We're just on the cusp of a technological revolution within youth sports, and some organizations are going to figure it out and be eager to embrace it, and there's others that aren't. And so what we really want to do is say, you know, you didn't sign up to be a technology expert or a web developer. You signed up to really run a basketball organization or a sports organization. So if we can be your technology partner and we can really help you connect to other organizations where you can trade ideas and best practices with, we can really help you prepare for that future without creating more work. And if anything else, giving back your time so you can spend it where you want.
Jeremy Goldberg is the president at League Apps, an online management and registration software company for youth sports. Jeremy oversees the marketing, business development, and people operations functions at League Apps. Jeremy is also an operating partner at 212 Media, a venture development firm that produced League Apps and several other companies. Previously, he served in technology strategy roles at the Mitchell Madison Group and Generate Insights, and he was the founder and CEO of PolyVoice. Jeremy holds a bachelor's degree from Georgetown School of Foreign Service and a master's in international affairs from Columbia University's School of International and Public Affairs. After you finish listening to this episode, please leave us a 5-star rating and review on your favorite podcast app. Those ratings help others in the basketball community to find our show. Make sure you subscribe to the Hoopheads podcast on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Spotify, or Google Play, so you never miss an episode. If you haven't checked out our website, make sure you head over to hoopheadspod.com to hear every episode we've ever recorded. Get ready to learn more about how technology will affect and drive youth basketball in the future with Jeremy Goldberg, president of League Apps.
Hello and welcome to the Hoopheads podcast. It's Mike Klinzing here with my co-host, Jason Sunkel. And tonight we are pleased to welcome from League Apps, Jeremy Goldberg. Jeremy, welcome to the podcast.
Mike, it's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, we're excited to have you on tonight, get a chance to talk to you a little bit about, A, the technology side of sports and basketball, and also kind of pick your brain about where you think youth sports is headed, both from a technology standpoint and just in terms of what's coming down the pike on the landscape. But we want to start out by giving people an idea of exactly what League Apps is and then what your role at the company is, just so we have an idea here as we kind of dig into the conversation of what it is exactly that you do.
Sure. Appreciate the opportunity to be here with you, and big fan of the podcast. I'll start with a little bit of background on League Apps and can give a little context on myself as well. But I think it starts with the vision that we have for League Apps, really to be the operating system for youth sports. And I think it starts with the recognition of ultimately how do we help work with the organizers, the coaches, the people that are really making sports happen, and equip them with the data, the tools, and the network they need to really allow their organizations to deliver amazing sports experiences and really evolve for the future, recognizing that youth sports is a really changing industry. We really want to provide the technology layer for that. So we spend our time with those that are running basketball programs, whether it's camps and clinics, whether it's club teams, whether it's tournaments, whether it's events, and for that matter, all the other kinds of team sports that are out there. And our job is to really help first solve all the operational challenges of the people running those organizations, and really then enable them to think about how they're using technology to improve the way that they're impacting the participant experience and the way that they're learning the game, and ultimately making sure it's a great experience for everybody. So that's what we're after, and we have a real passion for sports and the belief that when kids are playing sports, amazing things happen. So what can we do to really enable that and really at the same time impact this entire emerging industry?
All right, explain exactly what your role is day-to-day at League Apps, what you do and how you do it, and then we'll go back and circle back to some of the great things that people can do and use League Apps to be able to help their programs for people who are out there that may be interested in something like this.
Sure. First of all, my technical titles, I'm the president and the quarterback at League Apps. You could also make a case that I'm a small forward, depending on the analogy that you wanted to use. But I as president of the company, my responsibility is to help work with my partner, Brian, in really setting the vision for where we're trying to go, and really be that external ambassador for the company. And so that means that I help us build really impactful relationships with professional leagues and teams, as well as some of the most important grassroots organizations in the country. I spend a lot of my time also thinking about what are the ways that we can reach and communicate and add value to all the folks that are running kind of youth sports organizations. And whether that's through events, whether that's through online education like webinars and other kinds of content that we can create, whether that's through other kinds of experiences that we might want to create in the context of our relationships with the professional leagues and teams. It's really about what are the ways to reach and connect with those organizations and help them understand first what League Apps is about and how we can help them, and more broadly about how we can work together to really shape and define the future of youth sports. And so whether it's those relationships or those kind of marketing efforts, that's what I spend a lot of my time doing, as well as making sure that we're bringing on the best people for the company and creating a great environment for them. So I spend a lot of my time thinking about people, a lot about recruiting, and a lot about culture.
All right, so let's talk about that. What are some of the things that when you're looking to hire someone or bring someone on, what are the qualities that you're looking for in an employee? Obviously, there's a set of technical skills I'm sure that they need to have depending on the position that you're hiring them for. But let's think more in terms of the culture and the fit. What type of person are you looking for to come in and bring in to be part of your team?
Yeah, it's and one thing I'll say is I've learned as we've grown and scaled our business to be one of the fastest growing and most impactful companies in youth sports, it really comes down to the people that you're able to attract. And so I'm fortunate to work with a great team. And the way you have a great environment and the way you have a great team is you recruit the right people. And that starts with kind of setting a high bar for the kind of talent you bring in and really recognizing what being very clear and explicit about how you're defining what you're looking for, and then evaluating all the candidates against that criteria. So one of the ways we do that is, as you said, there's certain technical skills that people might need to have for any given role. And at the same time, then there's also a question of, do they fit the organization? And so we do a really good job of defining what our values are. The shorthand for that, we use the term sports dog. And really that's about sportsmanship, passion, openness, results, team, student of the game, difference maker, own your role, and grit. And each of those values are the heart and soul of what League Apps is about. They reflect the people that we bring in the organization, how we try to operate every day, the kinds of behaviors that we celebrate. And so when we're interviewing candidates and we have these values, we'll ask a lot of questions to really understand what have they done in their life to exhibit it, that they're a student of the game. Meaning, what have they done to show how they learn? How is it they go about learning new things? Are they committed to constantly getting better? Because that's something, it's a quality we really believe in, whether that's in our technology or the way that we operate our business. Grit would be another thing, right? Where have they in their life demonstrated grit? Where have they able to overcome obstacles, right? And had a sense of fortitude to overcome adversity. So when we look for those things and we can see those behaviors exhibited, we can sit back and say, well, wow, this is someone that is already in their lives demonstrated an ability to exemplify the values that are so critical to being successful here. And so between that and then having the technical aptitude, it allows us then to bring someone on and feel that they'll be successful. And there may be great people that are really talented in given roles, but if they don't fit those values, it's hard to imagine them being successful in our environment. So we really focus on screening people out with that, and we have lots of different people in our company meet them to really evaluate them against those set of values. And then once we find someone that's a good fit, we aggressively go after them.
Sounds exactly like a team, right?
Exactly. We spend a lot of time studying at what great sports teams do. And we're fortunate to have a lot of great investors like a David Robinson or Shane Battier. And so we'll learn for what, you know, how Pat Riley thinks about building the Heat from stories from Shane or how those great Spurs franchises have been operated and all the amazing things they do. And what one of the things that's so obvious is those organizations have a clear sense of who they are, what it means to be a Spur, what it means to be a Heat, or in Riley's case, a Knick or a Laker. And when you have that clear sense of who you are, then you can go out and find those candidates and feel very confident that if someone is really a good fit for those values, then you're going to be able to sell them very effectively on the opportunity to be here. And so that's what's exciting to us. And you know, so many of those values, I think, that are important to us are really at the heart of building great teams. And so we end up finding lots of people that played sports that find a connection to what we do. I think 90% of our company was at one point a team captain for one of their youth sports teams at the youth level or at the high school or collegiate level. So I think we've got a lot of good DNA in the business.
Very cool. All right. That's a good jumping off point for us to talk about you and sort of your background and how you ended up where you are now. So talk a little bit about your sports background, your tech and business background, and how it everything that you've done sort of led into your role at League Apps?
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, I can't say that I had this picture of running a sports technology company from the time I was a child. But if you look back and look at the career decisions I made, it's really led me to this moment. And at the heart of that, I think, are some of the skills that I think I've developed through the course of my career, one of which is the ability to build relationships, and the second of which is the ability to communicate. And whether that's in writing or whether that's in speaking, those are two things that I think are at the heart of a lot of the things that I've done. So if I'm going all the way back, the first thing you'll see is a DNA of entrepreneurship. When I was the third grade, I decided to start a greeting card business because I had a new Apple computer at the time. I think it was an Apple 2GS with one of those dot matrix printers that you tore off the side. And so My dad had an old briefcase. I printed out greeting cards in this dot matrix printer. Stuffed them in my suitcase, and then put on a little suit. And when I was in the third grade, I went door to door with my mom trailing behind, knocking on the door, trying to sell greeting cards. I vastly underestimated the hold that Hallmark had on the greeting card industry. Made a few sympathy sales, but I had that kind of first taste of entrepreneurship. And you know, as you say, you learn from every failure. The other thing that I really think about my childhood was, though, sports was a huge part of that. I grew up in Dallas, Texas, where sports is a real form of culture. And so you're immersed in an environment where you're constantly talking about the sports teams. And I played every sport imaginable. My dad was my coach, which means that we have a really good relationship to this day and also explains why I'm running a sports technology company and never became an amazing basketball player. But I dominated the JCC sports scenes in the 1980s. So whether it was basketball or whether it was baseball or I played volleyball or even football, I really experimented in a lot of sports. And then as important that was a lot of unstructured play, where I would ride my bike after school almost every single day to a group of friends' houses, and we would make up games and we'd play wiffle ball and football in the yard and all kinds of things. So it was this formative experience for me where I learned how to overcome adversity, how to win with grace, how to lose and learn from it, what it meant to be hard working, how to work as part of a team, how to work with people that are different than yourself. And so those kind of values were instilled that to me were connected part of my entire experience. And so I then went on to go to Georgetown and build my career and really start off in a business context, where I went to work as a strategy consultant, where I really learned to think strategically and develop big visions and frameworks for how to think about problems with lots of different information that you have to kind of bring together. And we just happened to be focused a lot on technology strategy, working with Fortune 500 companies. And there I had this experience, this first row seat to thinking about how businesses transform and how technology can transform industries. In this case, it was American Express. It was major publishing companies. It was companies like Prudential. And so I really started to appreciate the power of technology, and then went on to found my first technology company that was dealing with politics and technology. Again, believing that technology would transform the institution of politics, which it has. Can't necessarily claim that it's been for the better. Politics is a complicated place this day. But certainly, again, saw the power of technology as part of that experience. Then went on to after 9/11, to spend years in the nonprofit sector, really learning how to build relationships and think about solving some of the world's issues connected to conflict in the Middle East and South Asia, before I returned to my roots in entrepreneurship, both spending time on the Obama campaign, which was really a startup, if you will, and again, building relationships for that campaign in lots of different ways, and then ultimately joining a venture development studio where we built and launched four different companies. And when you think about that whole journey, all the way to League Apps, which really emerged out of 212 Media and one of those four companies, the thing that I learned from that entire experience was, one, the importance of building relationships, whether it was in the nonprofit sector, whether it was in politics, whether it was some of the mentors that I had. I had this ability, I think, and curiosity about people that I think allowed me to always think about how to build relationships and do things amazing with the people that I met. I learned the power and importance of mission, to believe in what you've done, whether that was in politics or whether that was in the nonprofit work that I did. I was so driven by what we did that I realized that I wanted to do things that I cared about, that I thought would make an impact on the world. And again, believing sports would be a vehicle to that, because I was so passionate about that. And I also thought about the power of community, where everywhere I went, I really loved bringing people together. And that was really a facet of almost every role that I ever had. And so when the opportunity presented itself to join this venture development studio, 212 Media, and they had this business that was a nascent business focused on sports, it really became League Apps. It really was the ability to bring all those things together, where I could be passionate and mission-driven in trying to impact and shape the future of youth sports to make sure everyone had the kind of experiences that I had growing up and make those experiences even better. I had the ability to leverage my understanding of technology to think about innovation and the transformation of an industry like I had done in the publishing and digital media businesses and politics. And I had the ability to spend my day-to-day role in really building and forming impactful relationships and building community in the context of that mission. And so all of those things have come together, and this is a place I'm really happy to be and excited for what the future holds.
So you've talked about some of the relationships that you've built through your various ventures that you've had throughout your career. And then you specifically mentioned a couple guys that our audience may be familiar with, and David Robinson and Shane Battier. Can you talk a little bit about maybe how you came to develop the relationships as a company with those two particular individuals and how you got them on board to become involved with League Apps?
Yeah, you know, I think in many cases, it wasn't like I set out to go meet these individuals, but as I said, I've always put myself in a position to build large networks and be part of great communities. And if you think back to Malcolm Gladwell's book, The Tipping Point, one of the things he talks about is there are certain people that are really connectors because they have so many different experiences, they know so many different people that they live in so many different worlds that it gives them very powerful networks. And so having spent time in the nonprofit sector and in politics and at startups, and part of technology companies and part of a consulting firm and going to Georgetown and Columbia and growing up in Dallas, I had this kind of really strange set of relationships so that as I was starting out the business, gave me the opportunity to meet all kinds of interesting people who would ultimately be attracted to our mission in sport. So that's the first thing. In both cases, in the case of David Robinson, we had started to attract investors into our business that saw the promise of what we were doing and saw the vision of what we wanted to do and how we wanted to impact the world of youth sports. And one of them was friends with someone who was running David Robinson's investment firm, who was evaluating various private investments, and said, hey, you really should talk to them because he really felt like there could be a really good fit between what David Robinson stood for and his character, as well as the kinds of investments that his firm is looking for. So we made that connection. We ended up getting on a phone call initially, and it was really a really powerful connection because David Robinson was not only thinking about investments in a way that would make him money, which in many cases, most of that money was being redistributed back into the various charities that he's involved with. But he also understood the power of youth sports himself. He had actually been a coach and helped lead an AAU team or found an AAU team for his kids and been involved in the community and saw the power of the world of youth sports, but also saw the need for changes and saw the promise that technology would bring. And so once we were able to make that connection and share our vision and got to know each other and then went through the evaluation process, we really, I think, connected in a great way. And they decided to participate and enlist kind of other athletes to be part of that. And after David Robinson became involved, we happened to mention to the investment firm that we were hiring and looking for people who had a specific skill set. And it just so happened that David Robinson's son was looking to move to New York and had a background in working and supporting various kinds of accounts. And so David Robinson Jr. ended up working for us. And that was amazing. And the stone doesn't fall for the tree or whatever the analogy is, because right. Equally in terms of high character and charisma, and again, extended that Robinson passion into our business. So working with the Robinson family has been really incredible. And he's even better than advertised. And again, so much of what we were able to take from that is understanding, not only how to build an impactful business, but how to build an impactful business that really impacted community as you went. Rather than think about setting up a foundation or a charitable initiative once your company is $1 billion, we from the very beginning were thinking about how do we make an impact every time we make a sale, every time we grow. And so whether that's giving our software away to communities that can't afford it or partnering with professional leagues so that they could subsidize the ability for our technology to go into underserved communities, these are all things that we were already doing that with David Robinson's support and encouragement, we really only committed more to as part of growing the business. Shane Battier was actually a completely different case where I was invited to a dinner that he was kind of the guest of honor at that was put together by a group of people in New York that were helping to educate Shane as he was retiring what was happening within technology and innovation. And so as people went around the room and described all kinds of interesting innovations that they were part of, we happened to be one of the sports businesses in the room, and I could tell that there was a kind of a point of connectivity there, just in the way he reacted to the way we described the business. And what was really compelling about Shane was he talked about this journey that he was going on, whether he was going to go into broadcasting and he was going to do some work for ESPN or what else he wanted to spend his time on. And so was intensely curious and asked really amazing questions of the entrepreneurs in the room. And I went up to him and offered to have him come by our office to get to know us a little bit more and to certainly offer some of my insights and perspectives of some of the things that we're doing and where I thought his experience might translate into being involved with technology companies. And so he ended up coming by the office and spent a few hours with us. And what we realized right away was a lot of our time was spent in how you build a team and how you build a culture and how you create the right kind of accountability and the right kind of collaboration. Well, these are things he knew easily, right? He could talk about what he did with Pat Riley and what he did with Coach K and the experience he's had with Hubie Brown and experience he had in Houston and all these things. And so immediately he had such amazing perspective to offer. So even though he hadn't spent much time in business and much time in technology, he had such a unique perspective on the business that I said, hey, you know, we'd love to have you involved as an investor, and we'd like to have you not as a spokesperson, not as someone who's focused on advertising, but to really advise us on building winning teams and winning cultures. And so that's how he got involved. And to this day, we have a Pat Riley quote on the wall that you'll find in the Heat locker room that talks about the progression from contender to winner and winner to champion and champion to dynasty. We use some of the motivational techniques that he's talked to us about in the context of some of our team meetings and our offsites. And it's, again, he's part of our recruiting efforts. So if we find candidates we really like, sometimes Shane will jump in and recruit them himself. And so I couldn't ask for someone better to be involved in our business and to really help us think about building a great team.
Yeah, that's very cool to have people who obviously are well known in the sports world that you can call on to, A, give you insight into some of the things that you've already said are important to your company, and then also for them to be able to swoop in as the closer in certain cases, I'm sure is also very, very helpful. And that's something that I'm sure is exciting about what you do day in and day out, is the opportunity to be able to interact with people who have a passion for what it is that they do, whether that's people that eventually become part of your company or people that you're able to interact with as you're presenting your technology or just the organizations that you're able to work with. So let's make a transition from what your company is internally to what you do for your clients. Because I know that there are people out there that are listening that maybe are running their own AAU programs or have a basketball league or just have a business in general that can benefit from the services that you guys can provide. So talk a little bit about what League Apps does for their clients. What are some of the things that your software is capable of doing that enables somebody who runs a sports business to be able to run it more efficiently?
Yeah, thanks, Mike, for the question. I think, you know, again, going back to this idea of mission, you know, our belief is that you know, everyone should have amazing sports experiences, and that's something that should be accessible for everybody. And one of the things I think we recognize is that the people that are making sports happen, right, those people that are club team organizers or that are running tournaments or leagues or camps and clinics, they're doing this incredibly hard work to actually make the basketball experience happen or the baseball experience or soccer or lacrosse. And in many cases, it's a thankless task. No one's acknowledging all the great work they're doing. They'll typically hear when things are going wrong. And they're really setting the context for how parents and kids and coaches are all participating in sports. And so we said to ourselves, you know, if we can work with them that are having such influence, if we can really give them the tools to really grow their organization, to manage their organization, to really be the kinds of organizations that are going to survive and thrive in the future, that's the way we're going to be able to impact the youth sports ecosystem. And so that's what we set out to do. And the first thing you understand when you look at people that are running sports organizations is how much operational work there goes into making these sports experiences. And so that starts with how they're signing people up for programs. So around registration and the management of all those programs and the payment collection, right? That's the lifeblood of these organizations. And what we saw that if people were doing things in pen and paper or very offline ways, they might be only capturing 17% of their payments on time. And maybe if they were using kind of some basic kind of online tools to capture it, maybe that percentage would be in the 60% percentile. But then if we could provide really robust online tools that allowed them to do with payment collection and automatic invoicing and credit card storage and payment plans and all the things connected to that, we could drive that over 99%. And more importantly, save them a tremendous amount of time and give them the resources they need to really operate their organization and make it thrive. So a lot of our focus came to how do we support that operation. So again, that's around registration and the payment collection. And then it went into to how they're setting their schedules and how they're communicating with parents and participants about all the things that were going on and what was that, how that communication manifested itself on the website or now in a mobile app that was really in their brand. So a lot of the tools we then began to develop were really around the communications and management of all the stuff that goes into once that season starts, the things that have to happen. And then you get into other kinds of tools like around the reporting that has to go into, whether it's for accounting purposes or for the ability to get your t-shirts or jerseys or uniforms ordered. And so we began to evolve more and more tools that really allowed them to manage the entirety of their operations. And then we saw that, you know what, there's all these other needs that they might have. It might be around recruiting, or it might be around video, or it might be around the day of tournament experience. And so we said, you know, if we can make our platform really open to talk to the best tools that are out there, we could really help provide that foundational layer for anyone that was running these organizations and get access to the best technologies they want, all in a way that was seamless and created no more work for them. And so then we've extended our influence that way. So much of our focus has really been, you know, how do we save them as much time and energy? How do we make sure that they can grow and thrive and take advantage of the technology innovations? And how do we help them really get the education they need and the community they need to recognize that if they stay in their old ways, if they're not thinking about the future, then some other organization is going to emerge and quickly replace them, right? Or create offerings that they can't compete with. And so for us, we really try to think about the most enterprising organizations and putting those registration and management payment communication tools in their hand to help them thrive. And then beyond that is to continue to think about ways to innovate together to help them add more resources, add more participants, and then ultimately allow them to really impact the experience itself on the court.
So I will say that as a customer of League Apps, I think back to what I was doing prior to becoming a customer, and I would take in basically pen and paper registrations, all checks. Then I would manually enter all of that information that was collected from the registration form and put that into an Excel spreadsheet and then populate that from there into an email client so that I would have an email list, and then have to record the amount of money that was collected. And just I think about the amount of time that I spent just basically as not a basketball person, not even as a business owner, but just as a data entry individual, typing stuff in just so I would have records of all the things that I was doing. And the moment that I joined up with League Apps and the software took over that piece of the business, it saved me inordinate amount of time that I just never would have been able to get back. And the other thing that I laugh about, Jeremy, now is it's funny to think about just when I would tell you, I would get these registration forms and I would do paper and pencil and I had built a website back. I think I built my first website in 1998 using Microsoft Publisher. And it was just a static page and you would click on the camp that you wanted to register for. And it would pull up basically what amounted to, it wasn't even a PDF. It was just a static screen that then I would say at the bottom, please print this screenshot as your registration form and then mail it to the address on the bottom of the page. And it's amazing how archaic that was, even for the time when I was still doing it. And then B, I think about the moment I transitioned from doing that to the following year, when everything went to the online League App system. I went from getting 100% of my registrations coming through via check, and it almost immediately flipped where I'm still not at 100%. There are still some people out there, as I'm sure you know, that like to pay in cash or write a check. And so there are still a few holdouts out there. But I used to eagerly anticipate running out to my mailbox to see how many registrations I got on a given day. And, you know, come back in with this big stack of letters that would have all the, you know, the registration forms. Whereas now I don't, you know, I'm getting registrations 24 hours a day, and it just, and then all the information that I need is populated right to where I need it. So it's been a huge, huge difference for me in the way that I run my business. And I know that it's making a difference for other organizations, whether it's in basketball or otherwise.
Yeah, Mike. Well, first of all, I appreciate all the kind words, and you know, this is what we want to do. There's so many amazing ways that you can use your time. First and foremost, it's focusing on what happens on the court, or how you're impacting the kids in your program, or how you're thinking about growing your program, or how you're thinking about building a podcast that would educate and reach thousands, and if not tens of thousands of people. And the reality is, if you're bogged down in doing all the administrative work, you're not able to do that. And so a lot of what we think about is, how do we automate those tasks? So you can bring them online, but now, you know, you think about automation and, you know, the fact that we have self-driving cars that are on the roads of California or Arizona today, and the innovations that are happening. And if that automation exists, or there's automatic robot workers on factory lines these days, and you think about what's going to happen over the next few years, you see that the power of automation is going to impact the youth sports industry as well. And so our view is how do we help translate that in a way that minimizes the amount of work and allows people to spend the time on the things that they love and how they can impact the organization? And that starts with the payment collection and the registration and the management of that, but it also soon extend to communications in all kinds of profound ways. And ultimately, the tools that you're using to coach and provide feedback and deliver the best kind of coaching and support for the kids in your organization. So we're just on the cusp of a technological revolution within youth sports, and some organizations are going to figure it out and be eager to embrace it, and there's others that aren't. And so what we really want to do is say, you know, you didn't sign up to be a technology expert or a web developer. You signed up to really run a basketball organization or a sports organization. So if we can be your technology partner, and we can really help you connect to other organizations where you can trade ideas and best practices with, we can really help you prepare for that future without creating more work. And if anything else, giving back your time so you can spend it where you want.
Head Start Basketball is proud to announce that we will be hosting the very first Prime Skills Camp, an affiliate of the Jay Billis Camp that is held annually in Charlotte, North Carolina. The first Prime Skills Camp will take place on the campus of Western Reserve Academy, just outside of Cleveland, Ohio, in partnership with the Jay Billis Skills Camp. The camp will be designed for boys rising to grades 7 through 9 and will take place August 2nd through the 4th. Prime Skills Camps will mirror the Jay Billis Skills Camp in daily programming, teaching, coach-to-camper ratio, and quality of instruction. Pace and physicality of drills and other programming will be adapted to suit a younger player, but an emphasis on improving your individual skills in the context of a team environment will continue to be the hallmark of Prime Skills Camps. Please visit headstartbasketball.com or jbilliscamp.com for more information or to get registered.
Okay, I want to ask you two questions based on what you just said. One, talk about one or two of the latest features, innovations that you guys have put out that you've been getting a lot of great feedback about. And then two, after you answer that, let's shift a little bit to more of the general side of technology and youth sports and kind of where you see some of the trends going in terms of the relationship between youth sports and technology. So start with some features that you put out, and then we'll shift to sort of the greater sports technology landscape.
Sure. I think that the two of the things, so one of the things I think we think about is, to use a hockey analogy, you know, try to skate where the puck is going, right? Not where it is now. And so if you have that anticipation, a lot of the things we're looking for is in dialogue with our thousands of partners. What are they doing? What are they seeing? What are they needing? And also, what are the things that we see that are happening more broadly in technology that we can introduce and bring to bear? So the first thing that I think we focus a lot on more recently is these organizations, there's so much competition. There's so many choices for parents. How are you helping organizations tell their story, really highlight their brand in a really differentiated and unique way? And so that comes with the ability to have an amazing website that's custom and uniquely designed for them. And then also the ability for that website to be mobile optimized. And then also pairing that with the ability to offer a branded mobile app. And if you think about it, on your phone, you might have a Starbucks app. And I'll get back to this when I talk about youth sports trend, right? You might have an app for the airlines that you travel on the most, right? You have these space that's on your phone that really is are the brands that are most impactful for you. And our sense was, is how do we allow that to happen in the brand of the individual sports organization and put them in position to have that kind of tool? And that allows them both to tell a story and project who they are in a really unique way. It also allows them to recognize that over 65% of the interactions that a parent's with your organization is going to be from a mobile device. And so how do you deliver as elegant and as powerful experiences as possible for them as well? Because that's what parents want. And then the second trend we've spent a lot of time is thinking about, you know, as you look at how organizations are generating revenue to keep them afloat, right? Whether they're for-profit or nonprofit, they're still in a position of running this organization and scrapping by and figuring out how to scholarship kids that can't necessarily afford it, or open up that new facility, or open up that new program, or hire that new coach. And so what can we do to help provide and support more revenue coming in? And so one of the key trends that we see a lot of is private instruction and the way that people are instructing individual or maybe small groups as part of that. And so what are the ways that we can really enable how organizations are offering that up and capturing the revenue for that, whether it's individually or as part of packages and everything else? So we started to introduce a lot of technology around private bookings as well. And both of these things are really enabled at unlocking the growth and supporting the kind of innovation that we really see. And so, you know, when we have organizations on our platform, you know, there's some that have literally gone from zero to 250 club teams in under 4 years. I'm thinking of a basketball organization initially out in the Northeast that's now in 23 different states. So you have this massive amount of scale. How can you unlock that? Again, the brand that you can enable them to put forward, as well as the ways in which they're generating revenue in new kinds of ways. So those are the kinds of innovations that we're constantly introducing into the platform.
Yeah, I think those are two things that, if you look at what, I like what you said about parents interacting through the phone. We all know these days, and unfortunately in some cases, we all carry around our phone and are pretty attached to it at all times. So it makes a lot of sense that if you're a sports organization, that you want to be able to stay in touch with people through their mobile device, because that's how most people are staying in touch with everyone and everything in their life. So to be able to do that through league apps, I think, is a tremendous benefit. And then the second piece of it is, as you look at the ability to grow your business, I think you said it very well when you said you didn't want to get bogged down in the administrative, but rather you want to sort of anticipate where your business is headed and how you can scale it and how you can grow it. And I think when you have the technology side of it taken care of, it gives you the opportunity to focus not just on, oh my gosh, what am I going to do about this registration? How am I going to get this done? Those things can happen seamlessly. And then that allows you to spend more time strategically thinking about how you're going to grow your business and what you need to do to be able to do the basketball or the sports side of it, and leave the technology side of it to someone who knows more about what it is that they're doing. So I think those are two tremendous points. Now, you and I were together in Chicago at the Junior NBA Leadership Conference, and I always find that it was my third year going out there, and I always find the new technology that is presented at the conference to be amazing. And some of the things that I saw, both in terms of being able to film and being able to analyze and being able to look at what is going on in youth sports, was fascinating to me. So I'm curious to get your take on, what are some of the things that you see coming in the not too distant future that are going to, if not completely revolutionize, at least make a significant change in the way either youth sports is delivered, or the way parents and kids consume it, or the way businesses present it? Just talk about some of the general trends that you're seeing and that your company is thinking about that may be coming down the pike relatively soon.
Yeah, I think that's it's a great question. And as you mentioned, the Junior NBA does a tremendous job of really convening, you know, that national conference that looks at a lot of trends that are happening. I was fortunate to moderate a panel discussion around innovation there. And one of the things I'd kind of emphasize for those that are listening, especially as you're thinking about the youth sports industry, whether you're someone that's in it because this is your livelihood, or you're a parent that's connected to it, or it's just something that you're following, you're fascinated by, is as much as youth sports has changed over the past 15, 20 years since I was dominating that JCC sports scene in Dallas, the pace of change is going to dramatically accelerate over the next 5 years. And one of the reasons why that's going to happen is the sheer technology innovation that's happening, and how those technologies that especially you're seeing now affect professional sports, will inevitably make their way into the grassroots. And the second is that the who's actually organizing youth sports is actually shifting, that you see a lot more sophisticated organizations, a lot of capital coming in, a lot more business orientation. And so you have folks that are going to be more likely to adopt technology to push that innovation forward. And so I think it's important to step back and say, okay, what are these trends that we're going to have to navigate, and how do we anticipate what that means, what youth basketball, youth sports is going to look like in the future? So some of the trends that we're looking at that I think will shape and define this industry, one of which is the role of artificial intelligence and machine learning. Now, that may seem crazy. We're talking about youth sports, right? And those are things where you're thinking about these big computers that are crunching all kinds of data. But when I talk about automation and payment collection, it's just one example. When I talk about the ways in which, you know, how do you know when to open and close registration, or the automatic communication that might exist between when parents are calling you up, which is the bane of every sports organizer existence. Imagine that bot. So when they text you to find out when the game is, or is practice on, or, information when they're at a tournament about, you know, where the bathroom is, or the concession, or what court to go to. Literally, there's just an automatic bot that's responding to them based on sitting on top of data without any human having to be part of that conversation. Those tools already exist today. Fortune 500 companies are using it. So this powerful role of artificial intelligence, machine learning, is one of those trends. We saw that at the junior NBA, where you had a great tool like Home Court that is amazing in the way that it's automatically, you're able to set up an app and track your shots and provide automatic coaching based on literally the way that the app is capturing the motions that you're making and when you're shooting a basketball. You also have tools like Shot Tracker. That's a pretty incredible tool. We actually just did a webinar with them. That's another example of kind of automatic stat capture and data collection. So that's one trend that we see. I think the second is the mobile revolution. I talked about a little bit about this, about our brand and mobile app offering, but so much of the interaction with organizations is going to be mobile. And so how are you thinking mobile first in every kind of tool and every kind of interaction that you're having with your organization? That's only accelerating. The third is data. And I think, you know, this is a revolution that's just starting, but how are organizations capturing data to understand how they're growing year over year, what's the experience of their players and their participants, what's the performance of their coaches, how are they optimizing the revenue, how are they being smart about where they can save money, and how are they comparing that to all of these other organizations that are out there? So I think we're just in the very beginnings of the ways that you're going to easily digest insights that are coming out of the data connected to the operations and on the on-field performance of every sports organization. And that to me is something that you're seeing in every aspect of society. I mean, we have four people on our data team alone at League Apps, and the idea of having data scientists a few years ago would have maybe seemed crazy to me. But now it's you know, almost everybody we're looking to hire in specific roles have to have data backgrounds. Those are specific things. The other thing I'd say is just to think about the context of the expectations of parents and participants and what that means for someone that's running a sports or organization. One of the things you can think about is a parent today, again, if you want a Starbucks coffee, you can literally order on your app, walk into Starbucks, grab your coffee and walk out, never have to interact with anybody, right? And so when you have that kind of ease of experience, and that's true of almost every sector of our society now, and there's more and more technology resources being devoted to it, what is the parent expectation they're going to have for the interaction with your organization, right? And one of the other things that you see is that if I'm a parent and, you know, more and more people are consuming video in their personal lives, and that inevitably will make itself over into the ways in which they're interacting with things that involving their kids, as an example, right? You have trends that are around how we're sharing cars or how we're sharing spaces like Airbnb, and what's happening now in the workspace. You have things like WeWork, where we're sharing workspaces. So these things that are happening in one sector start to bleed over in another sector, and parents' expectations are high for everything. And so I think that's something that every organization is going to have to contend with. And as much as parents have been a big challenge, they're your customer, but often sometimes your biggest challenge as an organization, how you're meeting those expectations is going to be something that every organization will contend with. And then the final thing is this idea of the role of kids and what that means, the voice of kids, with respect to how you're operating your organization. And this is some trend that I think is just starting to kind of emerge. Because if you look at esports as a good example, where kids are playing video games, what esports is basically video games combined with the best of youth sports. So it's teams, it's tournaments, it's events, it's leagues, all in the context of playing video games. And in many respects, youth sports is going to take the best of esports and bring it into that experience. So it'll feel much more like playing a video game. And that's because that kids demand it. And kids are actually running the esports industry, right? They're really at the forefront of this. And so their voice, what they're saying about your organization on Instagram, the feedback they're giving, like how you're dealing with them, it's a new factor in the world of youth sports that I think we're just going to start to contend with. So you add all those trends up, whether it's machine learning and artificial intelligence, the mobile revolution that's coming into it, the power of data, the high parent expectations, the voice of kids, and you can see the underpinnings of something that's going to be dramatically different than today. And so how can we all work together to kind of navigate those trends?
There are still three more sessions of Head Start Basketball Camp this summer. July 8th through the 12th, we'll be in Strongsville and Avon Lake, and then we'll wrap up our summer of 2019 at the Brunswick Recreation Center from July 29th through August 2nd. Don't forget about the Prime Skills Camp, an affiliate of the Jay Billis Skills Camp that we'll be hosting on the campus of Western Reserve Academy, just outside of Cleveland, Ohio, from August 2nd to the 4th. Check out our website, www.headstartbasketball.com, for more information and get registered today.
I often think, at what point, like I see those cool technologies and I see home court and I see shot tracker and I see being able to, I see what Huddle can do and I see all those things and they're already out there and they haven't yet quite become mainstream where everybody has adopted them. They're still sort of on the fringes of the mainstream of youth sports. So my question to you is, how long or how far out are we from the point where if I run a basketball organization or I run any type of youth sports organization, if I don't provide some of those technologies, whether, okay, let's just look at it from a basketball standpoint. If I'm doing individual basketball training with a player and I don't provide the statistics that, say, an app like Home Court could provide, where I'm not capturing the arc of the shot or the depth of the shot in the rim or the bend, the angle of the bend in my knees, or just take it as simple as recording makes and misses. If I'm a basketball trainer or a basketball organization or a basketball league and I'm not providing those types of statistics and that type of data, or I'm not recording and getting video of a player and putting together a highlight tape, how far are we away, do you think, Jeremy, from people expecting that to be the norm rather than right now it's kind of an outlier, the people who are doing it are somewhat unusual? What point do you think that flips where if you don't have the technology, you're going to be left behind by the organizations that do?
Yeah, it's a great question. And what I would say is that what we see across the organization, I think on average, an organization is now using 9 technologies to really operate their organization and deliver the experience that they want. But we have some organizations that are already using 30, right? 30 different technologies. And so what I see is a few things that are happening. I think you're right that some of this technology, especially around the participant experience, is less commonplace right now, but it's coming. And what I would say is that the organizations that are thinking about it now, that are evaluating those tools now, that are thinking about the technology infrastructure they have to start to support how those tools can talk to each other and interact with each other, if they're not starting to think about that now, then they're going to wake up and all of a sudden some organization in their area is going to be doing it and going to be doing this in a way that's going to start to impact their ability to attract the kind of players they want. And they're going to be playing catch up. While it may be a couple of years before they're widespread, the organizations that are the most enterprising, that are focusing on growing and impacting, they're coming and they're getting bigger by the day. They're investing in this and they're thinking about technology as much as they're thinking about the quality of the coaches when it comes to their organization. And so I think that the factors that are at play here is, one, in some cases, some of these technologies, the price point has to come down, especially when you're dealing with the kind of installations of things around data capture. But that's happening, and I've already seen some of the new products that are being developed by some of the companies that you mentioned that will be much more commercially viable or otherwise be subsidized. The second is there's a question of distribution, which is the world of youth sports is a wild, wild west, right? How do you get them? But a company like ours and maybe a few others out there are constantly engaging and connecting with youth sports organizations. So that becomes easier and easier for people to have that kind of distribution. And then the final is the idea of integration, that the great software and great technology should really talk to each other. And so it's going to make it a lot easier to kind of unlock and turn those things on. So while it may be a couple of years before it's widespread, in my mind, the organizations that are doing that are thriving, that are growing, are the ones that are thinking about this now and already starting to test and evaluate and ask questions and network to really figure out what their strategy is.
Yeah, I think that you hit it on the head there with you have to make sure that things are integrated and talking with each other, for lack of a better way of saying it, and making sure that you can integrate those technologies in such a way that it positively impacts the kids and parents who are participating in the programs. And I know that's one of the things that over the course of time that I found to be challenging, just as, for example, as an individual basketball skills trainer, if I'm working with a kid, there's been times where I've tried to use different pieces of technology. And as one person, just let's say with my phone or with a tablet, trying to do record or capture data, I found it to be difficult and found that it took away from the actual coaching that I was trying to do. And so I think one of the things that, from my perspective, is a challenge is how do you make it, to your point, seamless and integrated so that when I go out there onto the court, it just happens without me as the coach or the player having to worry about the technology. And I think just from what we saw in Chicago, you're getting closer and closer and closer. I was amazed by what home court, and it was funny when I was there, I actually had a girl who played on my daughter's AAU team about a week before that trip come up to me and say, "Coach, have you ever seen this home court app?" And I said, "No, I've never seen it before. I hadn't heard about it," and had actually downloaded it on my phone a couple of days before I went to Chicago and really hadn't had a chance to play with it. And then when I saw it, to me, it was just amazing that you could do that on your phone. Now, I had seen other technologies that could do those same or similar things, but in a much more elaborate system as opposed to me just setting my iPhone down on my driveway and it recognizing the hoop and recognizing me and then being able to capture all that data. It's kind of incredible. So I think that seamlessness going forward is something that's going to be very key. And then, as you said, the organizations that start to anticipate what's coming next and start to look at what are the ways that we can maximize and leverage this to help both our business and ultimately, if we're helping our business, that means we're helping the players and parents that are part of our organization to have a better experience. And I think that's where we're headed.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. And I think that the two things that we see is one, the idea that you're going to have one system and one technology do everything is just not realistic. It's a recipe for mediocrity and a lack of innovation. And so the expectation, the minimum expectation, I think of anybody that's evaluating technology that's running a youth sports organization today should really be how can this interoperate with other kinds of tools? How's the company thinking about that kind of ability to talk and collaborate with other systems and helping you as an organization navigate that? So that's the first thing. And I think the second thing is that, you know, these are the early days of some of these tools. And so what are the ways to kind of learn from each other? And so one of the projects that we've undertaken is to really start to run lots of local community events. We're actually doing an event in Long Island tomorrow. We're doing an event, I think, out in New Orleans, outside of Baton Rouge, I guess, in the West Coast later this week. And one of the things we see is we bring people together, and nothing else, just to trade ideas and hear from organizations that are doing really unique things and learn from experts and help learn from each other. Because I think working collectively, when you can find like-minded organizations that are thinking in ways that are innovative and you could find others, whether it's people in your sport or other sports, there's a lot of power in working, collaborating, and trading notes. And so between that and the technology infrastructure, I think those are the two things that'll help bring about this technological revolution in youth sports.
Yeah, I know you talked about it right off the top of the podcast was your diverse background. And your diverse background put you into contact and built your network in a variety of different areas. And as a result of that, you were able to pull ideas, contacts from all those different areas. And when you get those different areas interacting, I think that's when you really come up with ideas that maybe one person comes at it from a different perspective than somebody else. And I think that's exactly what you're describing. If you have an organization that's doing this over here and then another one that's doing it over here, maybe they're doing it in slightly different ways. And if the two of them come together and meet and hash out ideas, you may end up with something that's better collectively for both organizations than what they might have been able to develop separately on their own. And I think there's a lot to be said for that particular way of developing ideas, businesses, organizations. I think there's a lot to be said for that. Could you give one or two suggestions to, let's be specific to our niche here, basketball organizations, of things that you've seen the organizations that you work with have success with, some ideas, maybe one or two things that they could try, or things that you've seen organizations succeed with through league apps that a basketball organization might be able to take, one or two quick tips. I don't know if you can boil it down to something quick or not, but just some ideas that might help a basketball organization to improve quickly what they're doing.
Yeah, so I think the three thoughts off the top of my mind, or actually I'll give four, a bonus one. One is there are interesting tools that you can try for free that help you connect one system to another. So there's a tool called Zapier, Z-A-P-I-E-R, that integrates with league apps, for example. But you can also use it to integrate with other tools. I think we were the first sports application there. And it lets you integrate with thousands of tools. So as an example, the way a tool like that can be used is from everything from every time that someone registers for your league and you capture a Twitter handle, you can automatically send out a tweet welcoming them to your organization. And because they might retweet or interact with that, that's free marketing for you, right? You might also use Zapier. There was someone else who used Zapier so that any time that someone mentioned a club basketball program within 75 miles of his program on Twitter, he got an automatic notification about it. So then he can engage that family or engage them to help market a camp or program or instruction that he's offering, right? So Zapier offers these really unique tools around this, and we've got some good resources on our website that we've done, blog posts and whatnot at leagueapps.com that can help people think about those tools. I think the second tip I would say, especially if you're thinking about growing an organization, is thinking about how you're growing it in two different ways. One is how you're taking advantage of tools like Facebook to do very targeted advertisements to help promote your organization. The idea of putting a sign on the side of a road or a flyer up on a bulletin board to kind of drive awareness for what you're doing, especially when there's digital tools that let you target very inexpensively with very small budgets, I think it's worth experimenting with thinking about how you can use Facebook to drive people into your organization and again, use that targeting tool. And it's pretty intuitive, and there's also resources we have for that. And the third is, I think I would encourage organizations to think about what they're doing on social media to help promote their brand and what their organization's about. And I think what that means is first recognizing, who am I trying to reach? What's the best platform to reach? Is it Instagram? Is it Facebook or Twitter? And then really committing to that platform and really figuring out how to engage the folks that they want to target. If in some cases, let's say it's parents and those in the basketball ecosystem to help build awareness for what that's about. So if you're a basketball tournament operator, I think Zero Gravity does a really good job of this, and you are out there trying to get club basketball teams in your program, how are you using the right platform, let's say it's Twitter, to really engage people in your organization? How are you celebrating the various kinds of club programs that you want to be in your program and recognizing what that's about? And how are you giving shout outs and recognition to them? How are you retweeting the kinds of content that those organizations themselves are putting out and seeing what's going on in their lives and their organization? How are you using video as a really effective means that you're capturing on site that you could tag them in that they might retweet, and that tells the story of the kind of experience of the kind of tournaments you're offering? So I think social media and being really intentional about what you want to do, I think can work. You can always have an intern come and be part of your tournament and just focus on social media to really be part of that story. So I think Zapier, Facebook ads, and social media strategies are three kind of practical ways that an organization can think about growing their organizations and thinking about things a little bit more innovatively. And the bonus suggestion is listen to Hoophead's podcast. and the reason I say that in all sincerity, not just flattery, is I think you mentioned that my background has lent itself to learning from all kinds of different people and all kinds of different networks. And one of the things I think is very powerful is to consume content in ways that get you out of the day-to-day. And as someone who's busy running a basketball organization, you don't have a lot of time necessarily to read as much as you want. You're on the road a lot. So podcast is such a really powerful medium. And the diversity of guests that you have, it's just a great one place to go to learn from a lot of different people, as well as considering other podcasts that are out there as well, where you can learn from people not necessarily in the world of basketball, but that can inspire ideas for the ways in which you want to run your organization and deliver the right kind of experience to parents and players.
Those are all great tips. I know I have tried each of those to varying degrees. Some of them I've been more successful with than others. And you're always, I think, experimenting and trying to figure out what works best on those different platforms, whether it's social media or whether or not you're able to use. I know I've used Zapier for a few things to connect with my League Apps account, and that's worked very well for me for the things that I've tried to do with it. And then I think, obviously, appreciate the plug for the podcast, and I'll say to the same degree, the reason why we started doing the podcast is just because I became enamored with the medium, and it was just a great way that I enjoyed consuming. I got a little bit of a commute every day when I'm in my day job as a teacher, and so as a result, I spent a lot of time in the car and consumed a lot of podcasts, and that's kind of what inspired me to want to go ahead and do and get started with this. And so I think if you're a coach out there, or you run an organization, whether or not you're listening to the Hoopheads podcast or you're listening to other podcasts from other basketball organizations or you're listening to business podcasts or whatever the case may be, I think you're 100% correct that that's a great way to be able to consume information that doesn't require you maybe to sit down and read a book like you might have 20 years ago or to get your content in other ways. And I think podcasting is something that it's only going to continue to grow because you can really niche down to your specific layer of interest and get to the topics and the things that are most relevant to you. So I think that's a great point. I want to wrap up here, Jeremy, by asking you to do a couple things. One, give people the sell on League Apps. Give them the 1-minute elevator pitch on why they should become a partner with League Apps if they run any type of sports organization. Two, share out your contact information, how people can get in touch with you and find out more about what's going on at League Apps. And then if there's anything else that we missed tonight that we didn't hit on that you want to share, please go ahead and do that, and then we'll wrap things up after that.
Yeah, appreciate it. Well, first I'd say in the case of League Apps, what we really want to do is find the most enterprising, innovative sports organizations out there that are trying to grow and innovate and offer the best kind of experiences and figure out ways to partner with them. And the reason why people work with League Apps is first and foremost, they want to have a technology partner that delivers great technology that's constantly getting better. And I pride ourselves that every week, every 2 weeks, we're rolling out new releases to our platform. You know, we're one company, we're independently owned, which allows us to focus so much of our resources on innovation, and that's what we're about. So how do we deliver incredibly flexible technology that allows organizations to operate the way they want to operate? I think the second thing that we're really focused on is how do we provide the data and tools and insights in the hands of the organizations to allow them to continue to innovate and run the organization the way that they want to run it. And also protect that data, right? It's in our case, we really believe that this is your information. And so in a world in privacy and hacking and all the stuff that's going on in the news with Facebook, we really want to protect that relationship with you. And the third is just recognizing that beyond just the technology, it's the service and relationships that we can provide, that we know how hard you work, and we really want to be an extension of your team. We want to be that technology team that appends itself to your organization that you can rely on. And then more importantly than that is connect you to a broader community of organizations that you can work with. And so if you're out there and you recognize the trends that are coming and you want to be prepared for it and you want the right kind of infrastructure, you want the right kind of team, and you want to be part of the right kind of community, then League Apps may be a great home for you. So I encourage you to go to leagueapps.com. And learn more about what we're about, and feel free to check out a free demo and a tech assessment of what we do, and also participate in some of the events and resources that we have that are available for free. In terms of reaching me, you can reach me via email, which is just at jgoldberg@leagueapps.com. That's jgoldberg @leagueapps.com. You can hit me up on Twitter at Jer Goldberg, jergoldberg. You can also hit me up on Instagram at the same account. And so, happy to hear from any of you and be part of dialogue. And if you want us to come to your area and be part of hosting a technology roundtable, we're always happy to do that. So however we can be a resource to anyone in the youth sports industry, we're committed to doing so.
Jeremy, that is awesome. We can't thank you enough for spending an hour of your time tonight with us and sharing all the great things that you guys are doing at League Apps. And to everyone out there, we will catch you on our next episode. Thanks.
Head Start Basketball's Player Development Academy offers Cleveland area players a unique opportunity to improve their basketball skills. Regardless of a player's age, skill level, or position, training with Head Start Basketball will elevate your game to the next level. Do you want to improve your ball handling, become a better shooter, or develop into a more skilled, confident player? Our Academy classes offer training that's designed to do just that. Our training sessions are innovative and will have you learning skills that are transferable to actual games. We have 4 different class skill levels for boys and girls, ages 4 and up. All Player Development Academy classes will be held at the Strongsville Recreation Center. For more information or to get registered, please visit www.headstartbasketball.com.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.